With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline is Jake Kokorowski, BadgerBlitz.com, talking Badger football with us. Now, Jake, we do have to address what happened in Champaign, Illinois. First, before we get to this weekend's huge matchup in Columbus, what the hell happened in that fourth quarter when the Badgers just seemingly stopped producing on offense?
You know, it's not just the offense, it was the defense, too, where it was a team loss. If you look for a big example, like in the dictionary, that would be a team loss. There were turnovers. You had the Jonathan Taylor fumble in the fourth quarter, like you mentioned. There was the Jack Cohn interception that led to that game-winning drive by Illinois. But also defensively, they gave up some, you know, right before, I think it was, they had the Reggie Corbin 43-yard touchdown run. And the defense gave up also a 28-yard touchdown pass, too, and gave up those chunks of yards, which led to the field goal, too. So, and on top of that, with special teams, you know, Colin Marsh misses a field goal, which, I mean, he made three in the game, and he's starting to get a little bit more on a roll since the Northwestern game, but that's still... he missed one that, you know, if that's on the board, they win the game. They're undefeated heading into Columbus. So, really, but if you go back to the offense, you know, Kendrick Pryor on a 35-yard touchdown, or it should have been a 38-yard touchdown if the Illinois defender doesn't get him at the end. That sets up that first and goal from the three. And when Wisconsin can't get it done from the three-yard line, that stood out to me, where they had Jonathan Taylor run and – it seemed like the fits were, you know, Illinois fit the run game pretty well there, but it was still there. They had an opportunity to score, and then fullback dives, which have been successful in getting first downs this year, and I think also a touchdown from John Chanel a couple of games ago, it didn't work out. The run game didn't produce as well as it should have against a team that was giving up over 200 per contest. And, you know, overall, I mean, you can't turn over the ball on the road and keep that opponent in the game like it did on Saturday.
Okay, so you cover quite a bit there in your answer to Billy's first question. But the one thing that should be talked about is last year when this team was losing football games, it was because the quarterback was turning it over and the running back couldn't hold on to the football in Jonathan Taylor. And that's the one thing Taylor has done a lot better this year is hold on to that football.
That's true. I think he has at least two fumbles, I think, this year. I think he had one previously, but he's held on to the ball really well. And he's also added that skill set in the pass game where he can catch the ball out of the backfield. Now, he had that drop against Illinois, too, last weekend as well. But he's held on to the ball a lot more securely, and it's one of those things, too, where he didn't necessarily need to keep fighting for yardage. They got the first down on that play that led to the fumble, and he tried for an extra couple yards, which, you know, then you get a bunch of Illinois defenders trying to knock the ball loose. And on top of that, too, Illinois came into the game leading the nation in fumble or forced fumbles and fumble recoveries. And so that played into their hands as well, just being a typical Lovie Smith-type defense trying to punch the ball out. So it was uncharacteristic, and I think that's the best way to characterize what happened or what, you know, down in Champaign last weekend. Everything seemed uncharacteristic, and they did not play how dominantly as they had been the first six games.
Let's talk about Jack Cohn. To this point of the season, would you, in looking at him and how he's progressed this year from where he was last year, would you consider him a better decision maker than, say, Hornibrook?
Yes. Yes. I do believe that. I say that very quickly, and it's nothing against Hornibrook, but I do feel that you're seeing – preparation needing execution with Cohn, where he knows where to go with the football. He's making the progressions and the right reads. And, you know, on that interception even, you know, that corner route that Jake Ferguson ran, you know, maybe, you know, cornerback made a great play on it, but throughout the entire game on third downs or whatnot, you know, whenever it was called upon, Ferguson would make those catches on that same type of route, whether it was on one side of the field or flip to the other. So you know, he makes those good decisions there. You saw the read that he made on that first touchdown on the opening drive to Ferguson, which was an 18-yarder, where he read the defense with, I think it was zone, and he found the perfect route. He got the ball up quickly and made a play. But even just some of his incompletions, he's putting them in places where only the wide receivers can make plays. He's accurate with the ball, and he makes the good decisions and the right reads. But if there's something that, you know, even on an incompletion near the goal line, and I think it was the second quarter, you know, he threw it up there where he thought only Quintez Cephus could make the catch. And you saw that, and you've seen that throughout the first, you know, seven games where he's making the right decisions. He's protecting the ball for the most part, only two interceptions on the year. And, you know, the receivers and the, you know, everyone on the team loves them, and you see the poise and the leadership there too. So combined with decision making, you know, I think he's more than, I know a lot of people like to use the word game manager. He's more than that in my opinion, because he can still get the offense to move the ball, and even when that run game is stuffed up like it was last week.
Well, and Jake Okorowski joining us from BadgerBlitz.com and the Badger Blitz podcast here on the Wendy's Big Show, as he does each and every Thursday. Jake, I think he definitely has proven that he can be more than that. I think that the biggest question is, the talent-wise, does he continue to get better? And is there room for improvement there at the quarterback position? Because, I mean, they're going to need a hell of a game out of him. They're going to need a heck of a game from Jonathan Taylor. And that defense is going to have to have the best effort that they have had all year long to be able to slow down this Ohio State team in Columbus this weekend. So with all that being said, a team that shut out four different opponents, they need to have their best game of the year this week. How do they correct some of the tackling mistakes, though, that we saw in Illinois? Was some of that just not maybe crediting the opponent as well and just trying to shoulder tackle some dudes and a lot of low spears to try to get a leg off instead of being able to wrap up this week against some really, really high-caliber players?
Brian, you hit it right there with tackling, where Zach Bond after the game said the tackling wasn't up to Wisconsin's standard. And that's where a lot of it, you talked to Bond after the game, I talked to Fion Hicks after the game too, or I should say on Monday, and then Rashad Wild Goose too, and they mentioned tackling, where they need to improve that. I think it's just kind of going back to basics there, where wrapping up and then also getting a bunch of Badgers to help out as well. So trying to hold up a player for others to kind of help and make the play too. But they do need to step up in the tackling wise, and this up through six games, that tackling wasn't a problem. You saw that last year rear its head in terms of, I think the Minnesota game was one in particular last season, and a couple others where they were burned by not being able to make the plays, either like a tackle for loss in the backfield, or obviously, you know, even this year, you know, you're looking at this now, you know, tackling led to that, two missed tackles led to Illinois' first touchdown, what should have been an 8-yard completion on a slant turned into, you know, a 48-yard touchdown. So, you know, this team, I think, really, I mean, I think they're going to shore up some things in terms of getting back to basics there. Will it show on the scoreboard? And will it show in the win-loss column how much they improve from, you know, the game against Illinois to Ohio State? That's going to be hard to find out, and I don't know if that score will actually dictate just the improvements you've seen with just the caliber of talent Ohio State has and the way they're executing on both sides of the ball.
Let's talk about Chase Young, a guy that this Badgers offensive line is going to have to deal with, a guy that they like to move around. How do you like the Badgers offensive line against him?
It's going to be a tough challenge. It's, 10.5 tackles for loss, 9.5 sacks through seven games. It's going to be a tough task. You know, they're going to have to scheme, and, you know, Joe Rudolph mentioned on Tuesday that they have to work to really just find out where he is and keep aware of, you know, he's a dominant player where there's a good chance he's going to make, you know, a play or two on Saturday. And it's just, you know, Joe Rudolph mentioned this, basically, you know, long story short, if your card's called to defend him, you have to do a good job. And it will be interesting to see just how, this Wisconsin offensive line, for the most part, has played pretty well in terms of allowing sacks. I think they only allowed two against Illinois, but this is going to be a different beast in terms of just what Chase Young brings. I think they'll do okay, but I think, you know, if you focus too much on Chase Young, you also may leave open like a guy like, you know, linebacker Malik Harrison, who, you know, has 3.5 sacks, it could open the door for others. So it's not just focusing in and honing on him, which, I mean, you could chip, you know, use a tight end to chip a little bit here and there on him if he's on the outside, on the edge. You can try to get another run, you know, keep a running back in the backfield to provide a little extra help if possible.
But Jake, really, let me ask you this. How is he comparable to the Bosa brothers?
To the what?
To the Bosa brothers. Joey Bosa.
Oh, Bosa? I think he's more dynamic. I think he's definitely more dynamic where it, you know, I think he has the ability. I mean, you watch just some of the game film, and he can flap the ball. I like how, I mean, you talk about moving him around the field. I think that's a dynamic feature to him. And I think, you know, there's reasons why he's so highly thought of by the NFL draft services right now.
Jake, we're going to do a topic here in just 1 second, so I want to get your way on here. Going into Columbus, I believe it's a non-zero chance that the Badgers have to get into the college football playoff. I believe that there is still an opportunity and a vision spot for them to be able to make it into that ultimate spot. Now, do I believe that it's a great chance? No, I think that it's somewhere in the midst of about 5%. But for you, do you believe the loss to Illinois finished the Badgers in the opportunity to get to the college football playoff?
No, because if they can win out, which is obviously easier said than done, especially possibly facing Ohio State twice if they would get to Indianapolis for the Big Ten championship game. And if they win out, there's a good argument for them to be made there. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, Ohio State in 14 had a bad loss, and that they went to the college football playoff after winning out too. So, you know, to me, the thing is, though, the road got so much harder, so much more difficult. The trajectory of this season in terms of college football playoff hopes changed with that upset defeat, because you can afford one loss to Ohio State in a regular season and then in the Big Ten championship game prove, you know, and win. If they would beat either the Buckeyes or whoever would represent the Big Ten East, there's a good argument to be made that the one loss Badgers would be able to make it in. Now, you know, you can't have two losses, in my opinion, and then head into the college football playoff discussions there. So they have if they can pull off the upset on Saturday and then win out, including the championship game, if they make it there, then I think they have a chance.
Jake, appreciate it, man. It's going to be a fun one this weekend, and we'll be watching 11 a.m. Big noon kickoff. Always fun with the new Big Ten rules. We'll talk next week, Jake.
Sounds good. Guys, have a great weekend.
Take it easy. That's Jake Kokorowski joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.